Let's pray together. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the time that we have today to learn, to be challenged, and to grow. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, so that we might see and hear and feel what you have for us today. We pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would move in this place and within us, that we might be your faithful people. We are called to serve, we are called to love, we are called to go. Help us to be open to what you have for us. Help us to be encouraged today by the words of Lauren and Eric, who are your faithful servants, and we pray your blessing upon them, that each and every day of their lives, as they try to live out that call of the gospel, that you would be with them, that you would be for them, that you would go ahead of them, and you would watch out behind them. Father, we are so blessed to have them today. We pray that you would just bless them abundantly as they are a blessing to others. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, hey, we do have some guest speakers today, but before I call them up, and Eric, I'm going to lower this because you're taller than me, okay? It feels weird. Okay, cool. All right, we do have some guest speakers, but before we call them up today, I want to just introduce you to where we've been in this series, kind of catch you up, and then welcome them up to the stage. So we have been in a series over the last 3 weeks called Witness, and it's based on this verse from Acts chapter 1. That I have known for a long time and loved and felt called by. And so we wanted to use it as our series kind of idea for this mission-giving series. So if we could look at the verse from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Sarah? No? Yes. But we will receive your power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, this is an interesting verse because Jesus is giving marching orders to his disciples right before he ascends up into heaven. This is kind of that last thing that he is going to say to them before he leaves forever. Now, the good news is he's sending the Holy Spirit to help them. And yet, it still must be a struggle for the disciples who have been with Jesus for 3.5 years, at his side every moment, learning from his teachings, inspired by him, following his example, and all of a sudden he's going to leave, and this Holy Spirit, who's not going to have a physical body that they can watch and emulate, is going to come, and that's good, but it's different, and different is often scary. And so Jesus is giving them this last instruction, and for Jesus, this is a big moment. This is his last chance to tell them what to do in his absence. And for them, this is a big moment. This is the last thing they're going to hear from their Messiah. What is he going to tell them? What instructions is he going to give? This is it. That they should go. They should start, in fact, where they are, which is Jerusalem. And they should stay there. They should have a presence in Jerusalem always. And they do. And then they need to start going farther beyond those borders, into places like Judea, which is the countryside around Jerusalem. Then Samaria, which is an area of people that they don't really get along with very well, who are different than them, but still near to them. And then finally, to the ends of the earth. And the cool thing is, as you read the book of Acts, they do this. Some of them stay in Jerusalem. Some of them branch out a little bit to Judea. Some of them go into Samaria and places like it. And some of them go as far as they are able to go in the time that they have on this earth. They go all the way to places like Greece and Rome, which for them is the ends of the earth. And then in those places, like Rome, they teach others who take the message even farther. And now, 2,000 years later, we are still in the process of living out this commandment. We are still in the process of making sure that we tell our neighbors and serve them, that we tell those who are geographically near us but different than us, that we even go to the ends of the earth. And there are missionaries all over the globe who are serving right now, in places you've never heard of, speaking languages that you've never heard, translating the Bible into those languages, and making sure that each and every person on the face of planet Earth has heard about Jesus. That's a big task, and it's taken us 2,000 years to get there. And now, thanks to the internet and TV and radio, we are closer than ever before to making that a reality, that we will have told every person on the face of the earth about Jesus Christ and the good news of his gospel. That's what we are called to do. And so today, we were going to talk about this. We were going to talk about going to the ends of the earth and making sure that we were faithful in that command, and talking about mission trips that our church takes to Sierra Leone, Africa, or to Guatemala, or to El Salvador. Those are far away from us. But then it just happened that a couple of missionaries that I happen to know, who one of them was formerly a member of this church, and who are serving far away, were in the United States for a short period of time. And it just so happened that on the day we were going to talk about international missions was a Sunday that was available for them. And I think that's not a coincidence. That's a God thing, that they happen to be here on this week and available to come talk to us about sharing the good news to the ends of the earth. Now, I want to say a few words about Lauren and Eric. You'll notice that I'm not using their last name. That's on purpose. You'll notice that I'm going to be vague about where they're serving, and so will they, and that's on purpose. We are trying to protect them and their ministry in places where the gospel is not welcome. Some of you might recognize Lauren. She was a member here for many, many, many years, formerly known as Lauren Noonan in her maiden name. And her parents, you may know Gary and Sue Noonan. And they are wonderful members of this church, and Lauren was raised in this church. And then she met Eric, and they got married, and they decided to go serve together overseas. So will you guys welcome Lauren and Eric for us?
Well, Scott said, I'm Lauren. This is my husband, Eric. As Scott already said, I grew up going to this church from when I was 5 years old, and we got married here. My parents, Gary and Sue Noonan, are really active and involved here at CUMC. And so we are missionaries with an organization called CRU, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ. And CRU is an interdenominational Christian missions organization, used to only just be on the college campus, but now reaches out to lots of different segments of society here in America and around the world. That's part of the reason it's now just known as CRU. And so Eric and I work with college students in East Asia. Yes, and we just say East Asia because missionaries and missions is not welcomed in East Asia. And so mainly for the protection of our brothers and sisters in Christ, East Asian brothers and sisters in Christ, that we don't name the specific country. And so the reason that we are here in the States for a few months is for the birth of our daughter. There's a picture of her when she was just a few days old. So today she's 1 month old. So she was born on December 28th. And she's not here this morning. She's at home with her grandma. But we're excited. My husband is going to now share. We're excited to share with you about some things that God is doing in East Asia and around the world.
Good morning. Like Lauren said, I'm Eric. And she's been very busy these last 31 days, so yeah, I'm going to do all the sharing today. So I understand you guys have been in Acts 1:8 for the last 2 weeks. This is your third week in the same verse, but I'm going to read it one last time. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so we're just going to focus on the last part today, the ends of the earth. It takes about 30 hours from here, door to door, to get to where we live. So I guess it counts as the end of the earth. So you receive power. That already happened. We have the Holy Spirit. Historically, that's happened on the day of Pentecost. And so we have the Holy Spirit. And now, like Scott said, 2,000 years later, we're still working towards that great commission. And we really, really are closer than ever to completing it. So we're just going to say East Asia. Lauren covered that. But let me pray before I start. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would speak to our hearts today. I pray that you would speak through me as I share our experiences overseas, as I share a bit about my personal testimony and what you've done in my life. I just pray that you would use any of that to just encourage these people's hearts here. I know that you have called us all to live out your great commission, to live out this verse, to be your witnesses, Lord, and it's all in different ways. And so I pray that you would help us all to find our place in your mission, Lord, in how we are to serve you. Amen. First I'm going to share a little bit about my story and what God's done in my life, some events that God used in my life to call me into missions. And then I'm going to talk about, give you a little picture of what we do overseas, and then hopefully give you some really practical ways that you can apply the end of Acts 1:8 to the ends of the earth, being God's witnesses. Hopefully I can make that a little more practical. The last part of that verse can be a bit ambiguous. You can be left wondering, well, how do I live out that verse, be my witnesses in the ends of the earth? But first, let me share with you, I'm from Kentucky, so I love that you guys are going to Henderson. That's really cool. I was raised in a Christian family, first heard about Jesus from my parents, and up until high school, I had never, ever, ever once ever thought about sharing my faith or talking to anybody about Jesus. I don't know. I think I had never really considered it much, but I kind of thought that's something that, you know, only a pastor does, or maybe only a youth pastor would do, or someone who's been to seminary. Kind of like, I don't know if I had a term for it, maybe like super Christians or something, you know. I didn't think us normal people were supposed to just go around talking about Jesus and being his witnesses. I don't know where I got that idea, but I also thought that that'd be really kind of weird and scary to tell someone about the gospel. So going into college, I was a freshman at Purdue, Boiler Up. We've been having a really great year, so I'm really, really proud of those Boilermakers. But going into college, I knew that I wanted to be involved in some type of ministry, something that would help me to continue to walk in my faith while I was in college. And so I quickly found CRU, also known as Campus Crusade for Christ, and quickly got involved, started going to the weekly meetings where I got to worship Jesus with 300 or 400 other Purdue students. And there was a Bible study that met right in my dorm, so that was really convenient. No excuse not to go. And one of the leaders of the Bible study, his name was Ben, and Ben was a junior when he was leading, and he kind of took me under his wing and taught me more about how to read the Bible, how to walk with Jesus, but also, very importantly, how to share my faith. And this is Ben. This is the only picture I could find of me and Ben. I'm really sorry. But it's actually here at CUMC. It's our wedding. So Ben is, two to the right of me. So I wanted a picture of Ben from college, but that'll do. So Ben taught me how to share my faith. And I noticed that him and a couple juniors, a couple other seniors and some sophomores, they were going out into the dorms every week to share with strangers about who Jesus is. And I was like, wow, I hope I never do that. That sounds like the scariest thing. Why? That is so awkward. How could you just walk into someone's dorm room and tell them about Jesus? And I thought they were the boldest guys to just be able to take up the initiative and do that. But of course, I got roped into it. And so gradually, God started to really change my heart. As to how I read verses like Acts 1:8 and how I could take that personally. And two things I'll share with you that really, really stuck with me. One is that there's only two types of people in the world. It's people that know Jesus and it's people that don't know Jesus. And us who know Jesus, who have experienced God's love, we get to have a personal relationship with God. And it's free, and we get to experience his grace and his forgiveness, and we get to live eternally with God. And those who don't know Jesus miss out on all that. And they will experience eternal separation from God. And that's a very sobering reality. There's a really outspoken atheist. If you know Penn and Teller, it's Penn. It's the tall guy, the guy who speaks. And he has a quote that's always really stuck with me. And he says, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he says, he always respects people who proselytize, people who evangelize, people who share about their faith. Because if you really believe that Jesus is the only way, how much would you have to hate someone to not tell them about Jesus? To put it positively, the most loving thing, if we really believe the gospel, and we really believe Jesus is as great as he is, the most loving thing we could ever do for someone is tell them how they can know Jesus. And then the second thing is that it brings God glory when we talk about him. God, if you think about it, really deserves the praise of all people in all places of the earth. But we know that there are places where God is not famous, where people do not know about God, where the praises of God are not heard. And that's wrong. That should bother us. And so when we share about Christ, we're bringing God more glory and bringing the world to a better place because the whole world should be worshiping Christ. So I had a dilemma. Didn't really want to talk to anybody about my faith, but I was very convicted by these facts, and I knew that God wants us to talk about him. And so, of course, I prayed for courage, and I probably procrastinated a bit, but I thought of a guy down the hall who I could share with. His name was Rick. He was another freshman. We had talked a few times, and I walked into his room, and we had a little small talk, and then I just kind of awkwardly changed the conversation and just said, "Rick, can I tell you what I believe as a Christian?" And he was like, "Okay, sure." And I shared the gospel with him. I'm sure I didn't do a very good job or anything. I'm sure it was kind of an awkward conversation, but I shared him the gospel in 4 points, and you can use these. The very biblical way to just kind of give you an outline of the gospel. And it's one is that God loves you, and he created you to know him personally. Two is that everybody has sin. We're all sinners. Nobody's perfect, and none of us can save ourselves. Three is that Jesus is God's only provision for our sins. Only through his substitutionary death can we receive forgiveness and know God personally. And then four is that it's a personal decision, that we receive God's love, we receive Jesus' sacrifice by trusting him personally, individually. And so Rick could not have cared less. He was like, "Well, okay, great, that's great. You know, what do you believe? Thanks, we can talk about something else now." But for me, I walked away from that conversation completely changed. Because as I thought about what I had just done, I realized that was the only thing I'd ever done in my life that could have directly had an impact on someone's eternal destiny. And I realized how much power there really is in the gospel. And then I had this feeling of, I cannot believe that God gives us the privilege to tell people, to bring people to him, to be part of his life-saving, life-changing work. If you think about, like, maybe when you were a little kid, if your dad ever, like, had you help him with something really big and important that he was doing, I think about, like, my favorite part was if I got to use the power drill to drill a hole or hammer in a nail or get on the riding lawnmower and kind of steer. You know, I had no idea how to do the big job that my dad was doing, but he could involve me and have me do something that, you know, like hammer in a nail or something. Now, kids are not an excellent way to get jobs done really fast or efficiently. You know, my dad could have done it all by himself, but he involved me because he loves me, and that's the privilege that we had. Multiply that by 1,000, that's kind of the feeling that I had after that conversation, that, wow, our Heavenly Father uses us to do what he's doing. This Great Commission, God could do that all by himself. But because he loves us, because he's our loving Father, he's chosen to give us the privilege to be his witnesses. And that's an incredible honor that we have. So I'm not going to share with you my entire life story, but fast forward a bunch, and I ended up becoming a missionary after I graduated college. And now we serve in East Asia. So now I just want to give you a picture of kind of what life is like over there. And I'm going to start really, really big with kind of the overarching strategy and how we think about what we're doing and then get smaller and smaller. So let's start with a map of the world. This is a map that shows the progress of the gospel by people group. People group is just a great way to measure the progress of the gospel. It's categorizing groups of people by language, geography, culture, and ethnicity. And so the green areas are areas where the gospel is well-rooted. It's considered established. The yellow areas means that the progress of the gospel in those areas is either formative or nominal. And what we're really focusing on right now is the red areas. And those are areas of the world where it would be really, really hard for someone to find someone who could tell them about Jesus. There are areas of the world where extremely low percentages of the population are Christians, where you might not be able to find a Bible in your language, where you might have to go hundreds of miles to find a church. And so if you draw a rectangle from, Western Africa to East Asia, and then the lines would be 10 degrees north to 40 degrees north, then that's called the 1040 window. And I'll use that term again, so remember that. That's the 1040 window, that rectangle of red right there. And it's about two-thirds of the world's population, and it is by far the least reached place in terms of the gospel reaching that place. And so I'll give you a hint as to where we're at. We serve on the east side where the red and the green touch. That's all I'll say about where we're at. But why are we over there? We're there because we have seen that God is starting to raise up a new generation of missionaries, and they're not American, they're Asian. And so we see it as part of our mission is to raise up East Asians that would then take the gospel and continue to move it westward into some of those really hard-to-reach countries. So that's kind of the really, really big picture. But we'll narrow it down a little bit. The next picture, I just have a picture of our team. So like Lauren said, we're on a college campus, and we reach college students. There's 8 people on our team. That's our team from last year. And the next picture. Yeah, I just have some pictures. I was going to go through these pictures kind of quickly. Okay, so that's our apartment complex. There's Lauren. That's kind of where we live. That's the outside of our apartment complex. So you just get a picture of kind of what life is like over there. That's the inside of our apartment, Lauren's birthday. Those are sticky buns. That's the outside of our campus. So that's what the university looks like. So you can see, you know, it kind of looks like a normal university, I guess. That's the library. The next one, I think, is the bikes. Yeah, students like to ride a lot of bikes over there. And you can see it's a little smoggy. I have a pollution mask on. The pollution's pretty bad in the winter. There's Lauren on the campus. If you want to imagine our campus, it's like Purdue University, okay? About the same size, 40,000 students. It focuses on technology and engineering, and it's a really good school, but it's not like Ivy League. Now, you can't compare the basketball teams. There's no good basketball team. But for everything else, you can kind of imagine it's like an Asian Purdue. I'm our team's leader, which basically means I get to spend more time. Actually, there's more pictures. Let's look at the rest of the pictures. There's Lauren with some of the students who attend the Bible study. I think they're playing a worship song karaoke or something. There's Lauren with some girls that she leads. And then there's me and a student that, let's just call him Phil, because I can't share with you his real name. So I'll tell you a story about Phil. Me and Matt, Matt's one of the guys on our team that I lead. We went to the cafeteria, and he had an appointment already set up, a lunch with Phil. And so we sat down with Phil in the cafeteria, and it's the three of us. And Matt had only met with them, I think, once before. So it was really pretty early on, like kind of in their friendship. And we start talking about things, spiritual things, really, really simple questions. Like, what religion are you, is your background? Do you believe that God exists? What do you think happens after people die? Just really basic questions to steer the conversation towards a more spiritual topic. And he was very, very interested to talk about these things. And so we moved on to sharing the gospel with him. We were speaking mostly the East Asian language, but we're not completely fluent, so we use a bilingual app that helps us to really share the gospel more clearly. And so, again, kind of share the gospel in kind of an outline that I shared with you earlier, that God loves you, that we are all sinful and can't save ourselves, that Jesus is God's only provision for our sins, and that it's a personal choice to trust Jesus and place our faith in him. Matt used, I like this metaphor that Matt used. It really helps, especially in that cultural setting, to explain like the penalty of sin. He says, imagine that you're the emperor and I'm a peasant. And you give me an order to do something, but me, just being the peasant, I just say, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. How would you, as the emperor, react? Well, 9 times out of 10, they all say the same thing. Well, the emperor, I mean, I'd have to sentence you to death. You can't disobey me. That's a direct order. So really, it's an easy way to make that comparison between to disobey an almighty, powerful God, our creator. That's very, very serious. And it kind of expresses the weight of sin. And so we continued to talk. He had a lot of great questions. We talked about God's love, explained that Jesus' death is what pays for that death that we deserve to pay. And before we know it, and to our delight, he wanted to pray to receive Christ right there. And so he did. Right there in the crowded cafeteria, he prayed and accepted Christ into his life. Now, I share with you, you know, that's a great story. Of course, you know, I picked out one of the best ones. It's not always like that. Most students have no idea who Jesus is, no idea what Christians believe, except maybe like Santa Claus, right? Like, not even close. But or they think, oh, man, I've heard once that they think Santa Claus is God's son. I met a student once, I wish I was making this up, he said, what's a Jesus? He didn't even know it was a name. And so I share that just to give you a sense of like, yeah, it's like the gospel has not reached that place. You know, there are people that have no idea who Jesus is or what God has done for them. And they desperately need to hear about him. So I also share this with you because you guys are a part of that. You guys are a part of what God's doing in East Asia. Carmel United Methodist Church supports us financially, supports us through prayer. We are so appreciative of all of you being so supportive of us. We really feel that support from the other side of the world. And you guys, you know, we're all playing a part in this. Some go, some give, some pray. Like, we are all a part of God's mission, what God's doing. We saw 27 students receive Christ into their life last year, and you guys should celebrate that as something that you are a part of. And speaking of being a part of what God's doing overseas, I want to hopefully make it more practical. And I have 5 points I can share with you, just 5 suggestions as to kind of what your role could be in living out Acts 1:8 in your own life. And they're pretty simple. Pray, go, give, mobilize, and welcome. Pray is pretty obvious to start with that one. I think we all should be doing that. But a resource that I suggest is Operation World. Operation World says the definitive prayer guide to every nation. So it really is. They give you every country in the whole world. They even break it in. You can pray for continents. You can pray for countries. You might even be able to pray for parts of countries. But they give you prayer requests. And you can pray for each country very specifically. It's a really good tool. There's an app and there's a calendar too. You could end up just praying every country throughout the whole year. You've prayed for every country at the end of the year. Actually, it's still on continents, so it's you can definitely get started right now. And then you could pray for missionaries. I'd love for you to pray for us. I would ask for your prayers. So if you'd like to sign up and receive our newsletter, you can sign up at that table back there, and we'll send you a newsletter. We try to get it out once a month, but we just share about what God's doing, and we share prayer requests with you. The next would be go. I think that's probably the hardest one, but it's super needed. There's a huge need for people to just go. We really need more workers. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So we really do need more, and I think it's great. CUMC, I think, has given you lots of opportunities to go, so I really encourage you to sign up for those. Just some stats, and this is specifically about the 1040 window, or specifically the unreached, that red part of the world. There's only one missionary for every 216,300 unreached people. So we're always hiring, okay? There's not going to be, like, too many missionaries. It is also estimated that the church has about 9,000 times the manpower needed to finish the Great Commission. So we can do this. Like, this is very realistic. Finishing the Great Commission is a very realistic goal. The next one, give. Missions has financial needs. Whenever you have missions, you're going to have financial needs. And in terms of the unreached specifically, that red part of the globe that we saw, of the money given to Christian causes, only about 0.06 goes to reaching the unreached. So there's a huge need there. It's also estimated that the church has about 6,000 times the resources needed to finish the Great Commission. So again, God's not on his last dime. My wife and I are also raising support right now. I would love to invite you to support us. Our goal while we're in the States right now is to raise about $500 a month more in monthly support. That's mostly because we just had our little daughter, Cora. Next is mobilize. So mobilize is like just what I'm doing right now. Get people to go. Get people to pray. Get people to give. Get people to welcome. A lot of ways you can do that. That's kind of just a catch-all. But, you know, if you can't go, get somebody else to go. Or if you went, tell somebody about that and encourage somebody else to go. Maybe you have a small group, a little Bible study, and maybe you can encourage that Bible study to every week you meet, pray for a different country. That'd be a really great way to kind of get other people involved in the Great Commission. And lastly is welcome. It's when the ends of the earth come to you. And it happens, absolutely. The ends of the earth are right here in America, right here in Indiana. Who do you know that's from one of those red countries that you saw on that map, the unreached part of the world? It's an incredible opportunity you have that they're right there. You don't have to go anywhere. You can just start a friendship with them and share with them the gospel. There's an estimated 886,052, very specific, international students in the U.S. So this is specifically college students. 62% of those are from the 1040 window. 80% of those students will never see the inside of an American home before they leave to go back home. So that's a huge opportunity right there. And let's just see this. The 40% of the world's 220 heads of state once studied in the U.S. So the college students right now in America, they're not just the future leaders of the U.S., they're the future leaders of the world in some of these really hard-to-reach places. So that's a great opportunity. You know, I think of Purdue has tons of Chinese students. IU used to have the brother of the Dalai Lama was there. Ball State has a lot of Saudi Arabians. You know, I don't know about the statistics of some of the ones like more closer to here, like Butler. But look for opportunities. You know, God might just give you an amazing opportunity, you know, that's just right in front of you. You don't have to go anywhere. This last slide, I just have some resources. You could jot these down or take a picture with your phone. But they're the websites I mentioned. Operationworld.org is how to pray for the world. JoshuaProject.net kind of goes through people group. You can look at specifically different people groups. Traveling team, the travelingteam.org is a great resource. Lots of articles about missions and just the status of what's happening with the Great Commission. And then two apps that I recommend, they're both by Crew. One is called God Tools and one is called the Jesus Film Project. Excellent way to just be able to share the gospel with somebody. And if you don't speak their language, those are available in like 2,000 different languages. You're not going to meet someone who doesn't speak it. And then, like I said, please sign up in the back if you'd like to receive our newsletter or if you're interested in joining our financial support team. We also have these little prayer cards, and Cora's on there. And on the back, we have some prayer requests. We'd love for you guys to grab those. Just want to say thank you so much, CUMC. It's been a privilege to come here and share with you guys, and thanks so much for all your support that you give us. Thanks.
Oh, Eric did so well, but he had to mention Purdue. That was hard on my soul, man. Especially because they're going to beat my Hoosiers today. I'm worried. Fear and trembling in my heart. All right, we're going to pray, and then we'll release you guys, and the band will come up and play just kind of as we're mingling and talking. I do really encourage you to stop over and talk to Eric and Lauren and learn more about their ministry, continue or hopefully start praying for them, maybe even supporting them financially. We do support them as a church congregation, so when you give to missions, some of that money trickles down to Eric and Lauren and supports them. But, like they said, they just had a baby. If you want to go above and beyond and support them individually, I know they would love that as well. What is cool for me is that Lauren is part of a long chain of missionaries from Carmel UMC who have gone out from this church. I don't know if you've ever taken the time in our conference room, which also serves as our library. There's this really cool history of Carmel UMC that's been put together. And you guys know we're celebrating our 170th anniversary this year. To read back the stories of the people that God has used from this congregation to go out into the mission field is amazing. And that tradition continues with people like Lauren is awesome. To know that she was at one point running around the halls of this church as a little five-year-old girl and now is serving in East Asia and telling people about Jesus is awesome. And we should all be challenged to think about how we likewise can go and serve and reach the ends of the earth. Let's pray together as we go. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Lauren and Eric and the ministry and the mission that you have for them. We pray that you would allow them to be fruitful in their work, that many will hear and receive the good news of Jesus Christ from their lips, that they would be encouraged by this place and by these people, that we would support them with our prayers and with our finances, and that, God, we would just be challenged ourselves to think about the people, maybe on the other side of the world or even next door to us, who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and we have an opportunity to share that with them. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and the one in whom we hope. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless.